You're listening to Agency Alchemy, a podcast from Advertising Week. Join us as we sit down with top agency executives to uncover the secrets behind their success and explore how they're navigating the ever-evolving advertising landscape. From discussions around innovative strategies and emerging trends to effective leadership conversations, each episode offers invaluable insights into what it takes to thrive in today's evolving marketing world. If you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you're looking for more content like this, check out our roster of podcasts available now on the Advertising Week Podcast Network at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening. The rise of AI is reshaping the creative industry. So where does that leave agencies, content creators, and marketers? In this episode of Agency Alchemy, Fergus Dyer-Smith, CEO of Wooshy, dives into the evolving role of AI in creative workflows, the future of video content, and how agencies can stay ahead in an increasingly automated world. We explore the impact of AI agents, the surprising evolution of short-form and vertical video, and whether AI policing AI is the answer to ethical concerns. Plus, Fergus shares his insights on how brands should approach video in an era of mass content generation. Thanks for listening.
Fergus, welcome to the show. I'm so pleased to have you on today.
Thank you for having me. Very pleased to be here.
So tell us about Wooshy and what you do there.
So Wooshy is, it's gone through a number of stages in its life. Essentially, it's been a content business throughout, but in different guises. So it started off as a two-sided marketplace for video makers, has an agency piece to it now, but predominantly we work in AI and bringing AI into agencies and creative teams. That's essentially the core of what we're about.
Excellent. Describe for us just the process of founding and running an agency in 2025. Obviously, you weren't founded in 2025, but running an agency in 2025, what are the challenges that you're seeing both today, and what were the challenges when you founded Wooshy?
The challenges when we founded it were very different. I mean, I think actually you've sort of hit the question of the moment really right on the head there, because in 2025, we'd just done an event where we had 70 agency leaders in a room. And, you know, the big questions that they're trying to tackle with is what's their place in a world where predominantly, you know, we're a service-led business, we're a knowledge-based business. Where do we fit in as some of those things get taken away by AI essentially, but all sorts of different guises and ways that can be done. So I think the challenge now is how do you pinpoint your value beyond what you've been pinpointing as for the past forever. I mean, you know, and it's hard, really hard, I think. And I think a lot of agencies are struggling with it. I think the agencies that have done really well are sort of the groups that have been able to consolidate together different entities, buy in data platforms. You know, they've done extraordinarily well. And everyone at the other end has struggled or is struggling, trying to find its place in the world. The difference between that and when we started off, there was a lot more. You know, video was starting to become interesting. Content was starting to become interesting. Social was relatively new. So there was new channels to distribute on. You needed more content and you needed people to make it. And the only way to scale at that point was through human beings. So it was a very different set of challenges, the sort of standard challenges anyone faces as an agency, which is where you're going to customers going to come from and how you're going to service them and all those sorts of things. Challenges you face now are very different.
How do you feel AI is impacting both the creative and marketing spaces? How are you working with AI and how has it impacted you?
So we are slightly different, I'd argue, to the traditional agency, because we've always had an engineering team. We've always had technology products. So we're sort of dealing with it in two ways. So the first is, you know, can we be the creator of tools that marketing teams and other agencies can actually use? So that for us is obviously a huge opportunity. And we have skilled people in the business that are AI engineers and all the rest of it. And so we've looked really at our own processes and said, okay, which of these are going away? Can we build tools and products to essentially kill ourselves? And if we can we sell that to other people? But then at the same time, a great example of this is recently we had a number of our creative team, so sort of creative directors and things, sort of leave the business, and not through any reason other than they wanted to go off and do something else. And we just took the decision to see, could we run without that role being filled? And indeed, we've been able to. So that's a whole function that now we still have other creative people in the building that still have to do some work, but it's not the same size. A lot of the grunt work's been taken away. And that's all down to the AI enabling us to do that. You can start to see roles where they're very, the way I always describe it to the team is think about tasks first and then roles. And if your role is predominantly a single or a couple of tasks, then you need to be upskilling, because that's what AI is coming for. It's coming for tasks first. If your role is multifaceted, you know, you're touching all sorts of different tasks, it's probably going to be a bit longer before it gets there. But that's the way we think about it.
When it comes to those tasks and how AI interacts with them, you know, a lot of agencies are using AI agents that just kind of take these tasks and go for it. What is your feeling on the creative industry in particular using AI agents? Should they be embracing that, or should they be keeping it at a distance, or a little bit of both?
Again, I'm probably slightly biased here. So we've been working with agents for a year or so now, and saw the promise quite early. Again, because we have an engineering team, so we get sort of, you know, you're at the forefront, you get to see these things when they're fairly nascent. The problem with the question is that it comes with all sorts of emotion. And I think you have to try and take that out and sort of think, okay, it's inevitable that this stuff is coming. There's inevitability to it in that, you know, agents are going to come along, they're going to get better and better. And if your main job, which is not just within agencies, within all sorts of knowledge workers, is sitting in front of a computer most of the day running tasks on a computer, you should anticipate that agents are going to come along and be able to do that faster, quicker, cheaper. And that's whether you like it or not. It's so, and best case is you plan for that eventuality and it doesn't fully form and you'll be okay. The reverse, I think, is more dangerous, where you sort of think, yeah, it's never going to happen. And then it's just going to clobber you before you can turn around. So I think the answer is to think this is inevitability. Although I will say, so one of the things I often talk to the agencies about is you're in this, we are really well placed to benefit from this. The problem with the pace of advancement is that it's so fast that the old sort of methodology of trying to extrapolate out what the future looks like doesn't really work. So that whole, skate to where the puck is going, actually the puck's moving so fast that you can't even work out where it's going. So you can't get to it. So the answer is, okay, you're just gonna have to imagine a future. And that's what creative agencies do day in, day out. They're imagining these new worlds, new ways of delivering things, new ways to position things. You know, that's unique to our trade. So take all that creative thinking and apply it to an industry as a whole and imagine what a future might look like. Go beyond the extrapolation, try and go to another step. And actually, you could be in a really good place because you're going to be able to see or project something that perhaps others can't.
It's an interesting thought. It's not lost on me that one of the fascinating things about the rise of AI in the past couple of years is the industry you hear talking about it most are the various creative industries. You know, it could be the arts, it could be our industry, it could be film, music. You don't really hear as much from things like, you know, engineering or, I don't know, airlines, you know, and the various redundant tasks that so many, you know, various departments within just an airline would do every day. It feels like the creative industries are best suited to handle AI and imagine that future that you're describing, but at the same time, the most alarmed by the rise of AI.
I think part of that is because no one was expecting it. You know, for years, I mean, I've actually, you know, been a technologist for years, and for years, even Sam Altman talks about this. The expectation was that creativity and those sorts of things were going to be the last things to go, not the first. So I think there's a bit of shock factor, which is like, holy crap, where did that come from? And someone put out a great tweet. I'm gonna get this wrong, but essentially it's something like, I wanted an AI to do my laundry so I could do art all day, and instead I got an AI that does art. And now I have to do laundry. It's sort of like, it's such a great sort of summation of what's happened. And I think it's, part is just shock. I guess the other thing, of course, is that in our industry, our job is to tell stories and to be public about those stories and to promote. So, you know, we can't help ourselves. Perhaps it's like we are going to shout the loudest, perhaps.
Let's talk a little bit about the policing of AI. I find it interesting. I've read a little bit more about this in recent times. I would love to have your take on it. How do you feel about agencies using AI itself to police AI?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting. So there is a sort of side piece to that. So when we're building products, like one of the things you do is, you provide at a simple level, you provide a prompt to a model and you get a response. And if you're building a product on top of those models, those responses are not always the same. You know, there's variance in the output. And sometimes it can be plain wrong, right? So you have to build systems to test at scale whether your prompt has a high probability of giving you the right output. And the way you do that is you put them into a system, run the prompt 100 times, but you have an AI, another AI, then sort of mark the homework of a different AI. So you've got AI policing the AI there. So we would already do that in engineering quite a bit. In terms of policing it, you might be onto something. I hadn't actually thought about it in our terms, but actually might be onto something there because the biases that exist within these models are all slightly different. You know, if you ran it through multiple different models and built agents that actually had were told to be specifically, harsh on one way or, you know, to steel man and straw man both sides, you know, you could build an entire system that actually completely polices your output. I haven't seen it, but it's a great, it's a good observation, actually. Yeah, it's an interesting take.
Let's move over to video. Video obviously continues to be an increasingly essential tool for all marketers, understatement of the day. How do you feel brands and businesses can be getting the most out of video content today?
Yeah, really good question. I think it's understanding what's going to happen or what's happening already, which is, like it or not, the cost of production's dropping. And we're getting to the point where soon you'll be able to create a huge volume of ads for dollars. Now, that doesn't mean that the big ads are going away or the big creative things are going away. But let's say 80% of the volume will be able to be created in a single room with a good editor and some good AI. But that also means then the volume can go, you know, stratospheric in a sense. It's going to just go through the roof. So your limitation then as a marketer is no longer, okay, I need to go and get, you know, 10 ads made and make sure that I get the right things made and the right ones made and put the right ones out into the market and put money behind them. It's going to be more around, okay, I'll put these all out. Which ones are working? You know, so I'll just create 1,000 ads, push them out, and 2 or 3 days later, turn off those that aren't actually working. So I think that's a problem that's getting solved or going to be solved. It's going to be more around, okay, how do we ensure, like we can produce as many things as we want, but how do we make sure that the things that we're producing actually work? And one of the simplest ways to do that is to just run them and see what works and turn off what doesn't. You know, it's sort of fairly rudimentary, but it works that way. The other thought I think is, and this may be where we see the almost like the anti-AI come through, which is, at the moment, it's the odd ad is, hey, it's made with the AI, and that actually gets it a bit of a second boost because everyone's like, wow, I can't believe that's possible, right? Flip that round the other way when everything's made with the AI, and it's like, okay, well, and it could become actually the statement is, well, this was shot on set in the Scottish Highlands with, look how fantastic this is that they managed to create this with film, God forbid. That may be something we see.
It's an interesting take. I know that, you know, there's several filmmakers out there that are constantly pushing the message that, you know, yeah, we're shooting with these cameras, we're doing it, you know, relatively old school. It's not like they're, you know, going back to, you know, the technology of the 30s or anything like that. But, you know, they really are using film cameras. They're really doing things the way that they were done in sort of the cinema heyday. And that kind of translate. And I think there's a certain amount of us that, you know, I'm older, so I have a lot of respect for it. And I'm naturally curious about it. I'm not sure, you know, the younger generation is, but it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if that translates into sort of the everyday video we see you know, be it television, be it web, be it, you know, commercials, you know, what have you. At Wooshy, you've been working with video since the beginning, as you mentioned. What sorts of things along the way, as it relates to video, have surprised you in video's evolution?
A couple of things. I think first, the rise of short form. That was, it feels so natural, but the idea of a 10 second, 15 second video just surprised me. And in the same sort of space, vertical video. Now that feels, it was obviously going to go that way. But remember at one point that we used to, it was like the big no-no, you know, it was proof that you were a complete amateur if you shot anything sort of vertically up. Now it's sort of the standard. At the time I was thinking, I don't understand how you can do anything in a vertical format. How can that work? So that was one surprise. Another surprise was, well, not so much a surprise, but for years they've been trying to get interactive video off the ground, you know, interact with this thing, and it never worked. I'm yet to see anything where, you know, the odd sort of gimmicky thing, but never seen anything really take off on that front. And maybe we're starting to get there now, but something that we haven't really seen, it's big in China, is video commerce. You know, it's massive there, sort of products bought through directly through a video feed, and, you know, and all sorts of, I mean, it's amazing stuff when you see it, people selling apples and all sorts of things. But that hasn't really taken off here. TikTok have tried to get up going on numerous occasions. But maybe that's still to come. Maybe we just haven't been ready for it, and it's on its way. But there's a few.
That's interesting. I've actually talked to a few people about video commerce who insist it's here. And then when I asked, okay, well, can you cite an example? It's like, well, it's coming.
You just can't see it.
Exactly. I mean, I can be swayed into buying something if you're counting that, but I don't really count that. So
looking ahead, what challenges do you see the industry facing in the coming 5 years, specifically on the creative front? And how do you think it best to tackle those challenges?
So I think one of the things that in creative is, I think, and especially within this sort of commoditization of output, is that actually people are going to look for, everyone's looking for the magic formula for videos. Like if I get enough data and enough algorithms, like eventually I'll get a map for what the ideal asset looks like. I think that's a fool's errand. I don't think you ever get there. I think the moment you actually create a map, by its very definition, means that it's not creative anymore, and everyone will understand, you know, just won't work. So I think that's a challenge ahead, because there's going to be so much content. The so much content thing may also be an issue, because we're going to see, just become blind to it. And if, you know, some projections within the AI world, which is, you know, our buying patterns might shift. So for example, you know, when you start, I don't know, book a hotel, for example, you may not actually interface with anything, because you may just say to your AI, go off and book me a hotel. It knows the sorts of hotels you want, where you like to stay, the average price you're prepared to pay, goes off and essentially does it, or comes back with its options, says, how about this? And you'll just go, yeah. And so, and that can be said for restaurant, like so many things where that may actually occur. And then it becomes, okay, well, if we're producing, like, who are we actually marketing to? Are we marketing to you? Or in marketing to your AI? Your AI doesn't care about your glossy looking fancy video. It, you know what I mean? It's influenced in a completely different way. So that's maybe a little bit further out, but you know, we can already see the beginnings of these sorts of things. And technology has a tendency to sort of go slowly, 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 and then suddenly smack you in the face. And so you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it turns up sooner than we thought. The only other thing I sort of think about is the role of, you know, sort of the hardcore, the camera operators and the, yeah, all those teams that, you know, what makes filmmaking so much fun, really. It's like a technological pursuit. It's a creative pursuit. It's a very social pursuit. And the idea that you might be able to just sit in a bedroom and sort of generate all that stuff, for me, is a little bit heartbreaking. Even though I'm in the middle of it and creating the chaos, it's also, you know, something that, a bit of a dissonance, I guess.
Well, you had mentioned earlier, you guys are actively creating the tools to kill yourselves. So,
yeah.
Well, Fergus, this was a great conversation. If somebody wanted to find out more about you or Wooshy, where would they go?
I'm mostly on LinkedIn. So if you just Fergus Dyer Smith on LinkedIn, and Wooshy.com is where you'll find us on the interwebs.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. I love this conversation.
Yeah, man. Cool.
Thank you for listening to Agency Alchemy, a podcast from Advertising Week. If you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you're looking for more content like this, check out our roster of podcasts available now on the Advertising Week Podcast Network. You'll find it at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.